A very good afternoon to all our listeners. I am Lucas Kaluapa Katenda. I am bringing you our weekly program, and again this week we start this time around 32 minutes after the hour of 3 instead of 30 minutes after the hour of 2. The reason I am speaking from the north, and I hope to be back in town in the next weeks or so. That being said, I would like to welcome all our listeners to our program, and we will pick up from where we left last week. I will open the program in the next 30 minutes or so with some remarks, and then I will open the line for people to call in the studio. I will call in the people to call in the studio and share their views and ask questions when necessary, or just make a contribution regarding the topic for today. Now, the program is sponsored by Konrad Adenauer Foundation and is brought to you by Eagle FM, and I will be your presenter as usual. We spoke last time around. This time we spoke about the citizen's responsibility when it comes to their role as a voter. Remember, we are talking about knowing. First of all, just know the things. Remember, I take your pardon, we spoke about the citizenship, citizen's role, my vote, my role as a voter, is a citizen of Namibia. Who is a citizen of Namibia? We looked at it from the constitutional perspective, and we then spoke about the forms of government. You need to know your status, your legal status in the country, and you need to know also the government status of your country. I spoke about absolute monarchy, anarchy, authoritarian, commonwealth, communist, confederacy, constitutional democracy, constitutional monarchy, democracy, democratic republic, dictatorship, ecclesiastical, emirate, federal, and federal republic, Marxism, Maoism, Marxism-Leninism, monarchy, oligarchy, parliamentary democracy, parliamentary governance, parliamentary monarchy, presidential republic, socialism, sultanate, and theocracy, as well as totalitarian. All those things, we were able to explain them so that we know what we are in Namibia. We are not that, but we are, as I said, a democratic, secular, unitary, presidential, parliamentary. All these things are with us. Then Namibia is a democratic presidential republic. We had to understand the question of democracy. What is democracy? Because the point of election is the question of election takes place in the context of democracy. What is democracy? Government of the people, by the people, for the people. In other words, it is the people who are the sovereign. It's the people who are governing. It's not the other way around. Those who are in government are but appointed by the people, and they only serve in the interest of the people. It's not the people to serve the interest of their leaders. We spoke about constitutionalism, especially those of us who are governed by the constitutions, the supreme laws for our country. And then I had to speak about the majority rule and also the minority rights. Not only the minority in terms of minority groups, but minority politically. When you are not the ruling party, when you are not the governing party, you are a minority party, and your rights are guaranteed by the majority rule. in terms of governmental provisions and so on. Politically, there could be differences. For instance, if you are not the ruling party, don't expect the ruling people or the governing people to appoint you as ministers or whatever, what have you. That's a different scenario. But when it comes to civil society, civil work, civil service, public service, we are recruited and we don't care who belongs to where. Only leadership that is reserved for whoever has won the elections and so forth and so on. If the governing party has to appoint one person outside of their political party to serve as this and this, with their knowledge that this person is not a member of our party, is entirely in their discretion. And we had to speak, obviously, about the political parties, what are the political parties, what are the purpose, types of them, and so on and so on, and the people's role to join political parties. And then I spoke also citizens' responsibility last time. What are the citizens' responsibility? I hope we all remember, and that's one of the crux of the matter. Citizens, unlike in the dictatorship, democratic government exists to serve the people, but citizens' democracies must also agree to abide by the rules and obligations by which they are governed. In other words, we agree together, there must be a policy, there must be guideline, there must be this, there must be that, there must be that, in order in order to be peaceful in our society. Now, one thing that we need to know about as citizens, not only to know but also to apply, and remember, as I mentioned last time, that we must not just know, we must be able to apply the knowledge into the real practice. The rule of law, for much of human history, rulers and the law were synonymous. Okay? Rulers and the law were synonymous. Law was simply the will of the ruler. But that is how it has been, especially in ancient Africa. The law and the ruler is the same. I remember in some of the traditional authorities, they will say, Oshimoshayamo veta. When they say Oshayamo veta, it means it's now in the hands of the headman or something like that. So the ruler and the law were synonymous, were the same thing. Law was simply the will of the ruler. A first step away from such tyranny was the notion of the rule of law. So then as people developed, they started to differentiate the law and the implementer of the law or the enforcer of the law, including that even the ruler is under the law and should rule by virtue of legal means. Okay, we are coming from a time, as I've mentioned, where the headmen, the chiefs, the kings, the queens, were the rule or were the law. Whatever they said, their wisdom was regarded as anything, and they owned everything. They owned the land. They owned interpretation of the law. To a certain extent, injustice happened in the name of justice, in disorder in the name of order, and so forth and so on. But people have since developed into a notion, and the first step was really to coin the concept of rule of law. There must be law agreed upon by all people that in our community, this is what must happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who is to abide by these provisions? All of us. And as I said, constitutionally speaking, all Namibians are under the constitution. Constitution, then, therefore, is not something that came from heaven, but the Namibian people themselves, through elected representatives, have agreed that this must be our rule, as our rule of life. Those of us who are from Christian perspective, we know when we say the rule of life, if you are a monk, for instance, if you are a nun, if you are a clergyman, a priest, a pastor, if you are a Christian, that is what we call the rule of life for Christians. And what is the rule of life, generally speaking? The Bible. And out of the Bible, people pick also some principles under which they operate as clergymen. They must pray three times a day. They must do this. They must read the Bible. They must pray for people. They must. It's a rule of life. The rule of life. Okay? So, what is the rule of life for the Namibian people? As far as societal administration and management and leadership is concerned, what's the rule of life? The constitution. Then you can add other things that are a matter of choice, constitutionally speaking and democratic speaking, when it comes to moral development, virtuous norms and ethics. Then other rules of life such as the Bible and other holy writings, depending on what you believe. So, even the ruler is under the law. As a voter, you need to know this. As a voter, you need to know. Even the ruler is under the law. Nobody is above the law. There are some minor things like presidential immunity, for instance, or parliamentary immunity, something like that. For as long as you are a president of this country, then you are immune to. You have a privilege of your security. Your security can remove people from the road so that you can travel safe and faster to reach your destination. But you have got no right. You are not immune when you kill someone, for instance. You are not immune when you kill someone. You are not immune when you steal. You are not immune when you commit corrupt activities. You are not immune. So nobody's really above the law. All of us in the Namibian context are under the law. And whoever wants to be a leader in Namibia, to be a president, to be a member of parliament, to be a member of regional council, to be a member of local authority council, you must be a person who is who will abide by the rule of law, including, as I said, and should rule by virtue of legal means. Rulers, when you are elected to lead, you are elected, you are voted for, but you will only lead by legal means. You don't pick your own ideas and you start ruling by what you think, by your own philosophy, but by what was agreed by the people. Democracies went further by establishing the rule of law. That's why what I just said, explained above. And although no society or government system is problem-free, the rule of law protects fundamental political, social, economic rights and reminds us that tyranny and lawlessness are not the only alternatives. So, it is the democratic will of the people to establish the rules by which they must live in their country. And obviously, there is no society that is problem-free, very serious. There is no society that is problem-free. But then the rule of law protects the fundamental. We can disagree, we can criticize each other, we can go polemic against so and so, but we must not forget the rule of law. And the rule of law seeks to protect the fundamental rights, such as political rights, social rights, economic rights. And obviously we are reminded that tyranny and lawlessness are not the only alternatives. We don't live by being lawless, by being in a disordered state. We live by the law, And whoever goes against the rights of the people will face really the rule of law, and the people will remind them that no, you are here, you are indeed violating the rights of A or B or C. This you need to know. Rule of law means that no individuals, no president, or private citizen stands above the law. Democratic governments exercise authority by way of law and are themselves subject to laws' constraints. Laws should express the will of the people, not the whims of kings or dictators or military officials or religious leaders or self-appointed political parties. So, the rule of law, when we are voting, we are following the law. And all the things I've mentioned so far are legal. You are free to establish a political party. It's law. Constitution is clear. You are free to leave this political party and join another. Or be apolitical. You don't want to join any political party. But obviously you have to choose. You have to vote. You can't be without vote. It's logical, correct to vote, whether we don't believe in this or that political party, because at the end of the day, there will always be somebody to rule us. And you don't want to be ruled by charlatans or by fools or by people who are not serious or by money-making business people. You don't want that. You want to be ruled by the leaders who are willing to serve the people, not the other way round. So it means that the rule of law then means that no individual person in this country, no president, no minister, no leader, no military man, no any person, no business, no rich person, or any private business who will stand above the law. Nobody. And then democratic governments exercise authority by way of law, and the government itself is subjected to the constraints of the law. The government will rule by law, but the government itself is not above the law because it is constituted by the law, and it too must abide by the very same law it seeks to administer. So, when you vote for people, these people must know, you must vote people for people, you must elect, you must choose people who understand the rule of law and who would like to practice the rule of law. Don't pick people who have got no understanding whatsoever or who disregard the rule of law, because the law will tell you, you don't do that. You want to do a corrupt activity, but you read what does the law says. I remember mentioning the cases of corruptions that we have, the case in which the house was sold or whatever, then the former governor of Hardap was involved. She has given the house to whoever, and what, leading to the court case, leading her losing her ministerial position. But the question for me is not that there was no corruption involved. I am asking, where was the rule of law that time? The rule of law is the government under Ministry A is going to build houses. For who? There must be a clear policy. House number one is for A, house number two is for B, house number three is for C, so forth and so on. These are the IDs, these are the people, this is where these people are. When houses are finished, give the houses to the owners. Done deal. That's the rule which is given. Who else has the right to come and say, No, this house does not belong to C, I will give it to D. Who has that right? Nobody. And whoever was there, we must protect each other. We must tell, and we must not think we are bigger and powerful than anybody else. Somebody must be able to say, no. Wait a minute. This is the letter I received when I was building these houses. House number one goes to A. House number two goes to B. House number three goes to C. That's the end. If you want to change this, please go to the relevant authority and give me the correct information. Otherwise, if I change this, it will be a problem. Then if the person forces, then you have the right to say, well, I told you this was the case. I was now asking, was there a rule of law there? There must be a rule of law. Everything must be minuted. Everything must be decided upon. Everything must be signed. Everything must be agreed in the rule of law. You don't come up and do your own things. No, you must abide by the rule of law. Not only there, but there are many cases. Even now I'm hearing the story of the involving the minister for higher education and so on. I'm hearing there was this money used for that and this money was used for that. My question is, what is the rule of law in terms of how S&Ts, travels, meetings, what are procured? How do we fund? What is the budget saying? What is the treasury instruction saying? What is the accounting procedures within that ministry saying? Who jumped where? All of these things must be clear, that it's supposed to be done by A, but only C who did it. Why C did it when it's supposed to be done by A? The rule of law. The law is not just a legal concept that's there or acts that have gone through parliament, but it must mean all policy. Any policy is a rule or is a law. Any guideline, we must follow them vigorously. How do we invite the minister? Who authorizes the minister's trip? Who calculates the minister's S&T? And so on and so forth. There must always be a clarity, transparency, so that we can avoid this thing of fighting each other. If you are appointed as a public servant, you are on a pedestal, you are on the mountaintop, and everybody wants really to see you guys, what you are doing. And to speak figuratively, members of the public want to see even what you do in privacy. So we must try as much as we can to be transparent in public matters, dealing with public offices, public money, public transport, public property. We must try as much as we can to be public, because it is a public thing. Any question, give the answer. Any question, give the answer. No, my friend, I understand you are saying A, B, C, D, but the reality is 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't say you did not vote for me, I'm not accountable to you, what. No problem. I will give you the answer. Don't worry. Come to my office. This is what I have. This is the invitation. This is the request. This is the permission to go to the meeting. This is the money was used. Symbol. So that we do not give people some ideas to think we are stealing while we are really doing the work. Because it is true. In some cases, people will steal and they will abuse the system to their own benefit. This is not in any way giving consent to position A or position B in regard to this. I'm only saying in all cases, whether they are allegation, they are what, let us keep playing by the rules. What does the rule say in that office. Okay? I read also in the response from one of the papers. No, every procedure was followed. So if the procedures were followed, let whoever wants to inspect to ascertain that, yes, the procedures were followed. We don't have to be in a country and we are fighting each other. Simply because we are ignoring the rule of law. The rule of law. Why am I stressing it? I'm saying when you are voting for people, when you are choosing people, when you are electing people, please make sure you choose people who understand the rule of law, people who cherish the rule of law, people who will practice the rule of law, people who will apply the rule of law, irrespective of who this law is to be applied. Whoever. So that we don't give a loophole for any corrupt activity to go unnoticed. First of all, I remember teaching about corruption cases, that we must prevent corruption rather than dealing with corrupt cases. Must deter. They must not happen. Corruption cases must not happen. But here the point is not about corruption. It's about the question of rule of law. Even in the case of election. Okay. Then, laws should express the will of the people, remember, not the whims of the kings. Not the whims of the dictators, not the whims of political military officials, not the whims of religious leaders like myself, not the whims of self-appointed political parties. Laws should express the will of the people. How do you express the will of the people? Majority. What does the majority say? If the majority thinks this, we agree. The only condition that is there is the minority rights. How do we protect the people who are minority? And remember, I mentioned that minority people must not be self-appointed. If there is a person who thinks is a minority in Namibia, immediately those who are in government must study why is this community think they are minority? Why are they minority? What makes them a minority? What could be the solution so that these people will stop being minority and be integrated into the broader society, so that we do not want a society with classes, majority, minority, this, we want the whole society to be one. How can we work to integrate these so-called minority people? What makes them a minority? Shall we have minorities in societies? Shall we have minority in Namibia? Okay, but that's a topic of another day. I'm only saying that will of the people is expressed through elections. Whether you do the general election or whether you do referendum. You do the referendum. Yeah, the referendum. So the whims of the kings, dictators, military officials, religious, self-appointed political parties, should not dictate what must be in the law. People themselves must say, no, in Namibia, our law regarding this is what. And how do we do this? We do it through representation. And that's why you have an obligation to vote. Because the laws that will be passed by parliament will be your representative. You gave us these people. And these people must only do what you guys want. Yeah. When we say what you want, it's mostly what you need, not really what you wish or things like that. In terms of English language words now. What is desired? What is needed? What is desired? What's needed? What is necessary? for the survival of all the Namibian people. When we talk of the survival, we are talking about things like life, talking about shelter, talking about health, we are talking about food, talking about protection of fundamental rights, privacy, freedom of movement, association, speech, and so forth and so on. If all these things are protected, who is not protected in Namibia, and by what law, and by what means, and could there be any law that must protect these people? Then the society deliberate. You can deliberate in churches, you can deliberate in villages, you can deliberate in NGO, you can deliberate in parliament, you can deliberate in political parties, in academic institutions, and in youth organizations, women organizations, men groups. We must discuss and discuss, and then we say, no, let us pass a law to protect. Are we protecting what? We are protecting a majority, or we are protecting a minority? The minority's protection or the majority's protection? Who shall we put an end to minority things so that we are all one person? Good. Now, citizens in democracies are willing to obey the law of their society then because they are submitting to their own rules and the regulations. So you don't, you are not necessarily submitting to the government. You are submitting to the laws and rules you yourself have passed. Okay? They are your own regulations. You made them through your chosen representatives, the people in parliament, National Assembly, National Council. They are the reason why we have those laws, because you choose them to go and make laws. And that's why I am afraid when we have a parliament with people who can't read the law, a parliament with people who can't draft the law, who can't explain the law. This is the danger I have, because most of the time we put people in parliament just because they are loyal supporters of that party or that party. We must not do that. We are deforming our society. We need capable people, competent people, who can sit in parliament and have intervention that is legal, that is cognizant of what people are saying outside there. So that when I look at you intervening in parliamentary debate, I can say, wow, this man is reading my mind. Or this person is really helping the discourse, and now we are changing. I was just reading my Facebook page today, and without mentioning the name, one of our veteran founding members of National Council posted something there, very interesting, that this intervention was the best ever I have seen concerning a particular topic, which is good, which means this lawmaker was addressing issues that are resonating with the minds of the people who are not there in parliament. So we need people with knowledge, experience, skills, education advantage, natural wisdom to represent us and pass laws that are good for the people of Namibia. Justice is best achieved when the laws are established by the very people who must obey them. I wish this sentence must go in every person's mind. Justice is better and best served and administered when the laws are made by the people, so that the very same people who made those laws shall be the same people to obey those laws. Then who will you complain to? No, these laws are not good, but you made them. Why are you complaining about the laws that you have made? Only when you have misrepresentations. Because remember I said, we cannot all be in parliament. We cannot all be in National Assembly, National Council. We will be represented by the people we will choose, we will vote for, we will elect, who will stand in for us. And we will look at them with big eyes that, hey, look, look at this person. We voted for him to go and represent us in this matter, and this is how he's going against the will of the people. Okay, I am not going to vote for this person next time. I'm not going to choose them. Or you remove them by way of referendum, depending on the composition of the parliament. Then under the rule of law, a system of strong, independent courts should have the power and authority and resources and the prestige to hold government officials, even top leaders, accountable to the nation's laws and regulations. And for this reason, before I go there, let me just explain this one. Strong, independent courts. What is a court? A court is a composition. A composition of enacted laws, the interpreters of the law, those who argue that no, your interpretation is against this, those who remind, those who interpret. What do I mean? You have the place, which we call the court. But the court is not just a building and benches. It is a building and benches with people sitting on them, reading and interpreting the law. Okay? Interpreting the law. And therefore, you need well-trained, excessively well-trained, professional, independent, and impartial judges. Okay? Not those who are biased against or are prejudiced against a particular person, a particular group of people, but those who are well-trained, those who are professional, those who are independent, those who are impartial judges. They must not be prejudiced against, in favor of and against that, or biased against this or in favor of that. But people who are willing only to read the law and interpret it in the interest of fairness and justice and the interest of the law as passed by the people. Judges don't pass the law. Judges don't. That is why, to give you an example, when there was this case of recognition of the same-sex unions, I usually, at my own discretion, I don't call them marriages. Those same-sex unions, by the Supreme Court, after the appeal, when the High Court ruled against, then the Supreme Court ruled in favor, because the Supreme Court can overtake the can overturn the judgments of the lower courts. Then some people started complaining about some people are using the Bible, some people are using the culture, some people are using history, some people are using what. And some of us are saying, my friends, legal things are only responded to with legal argument. What has happened is not a church thing. It's not a Bible thing. What has happened is but a legal interpretation. Then you suppose now, as a legal person, a legal-minded person, to think, how did they come to this conclusion? You can read the judgment if you like, and then you can reason yourself. Maybe they have used the Constitution then you can say no. They don't use the constitution because constitution specifically mentioned men and women. Naturally, it's very clear. They didn't use the constitution. Then what did they use? Did they use the Marriage Act, the colonial one of 1961, if I'm not mistaken? Then again, there it's very clear. It's not. They didn't use that law. What did they use? Then we had, they use immigration law. Oh, immigration law? What is in there in the immigration law? So this is how you argue. You can argue morally from moral point of view, ethics, virtues, norms, cultures, and values, but those are not laws. We are not governed by those. We are governed by laws, rule of law. Rule of law. And it is painful because rule of law may mean what we don't like sometimes. And if you want to deal with this, you still have to use the rule of law to get rid of what you think is not the best for whatever reason then, for your country or for whatever the situation may be. So I'm only saying the rule of law. We need to choose people who will abide by the rule of law to serve their necessary role in the legal and political system. Judges must be committed to the principles of democracy. Judges must be, again, committed to the principles of democracy. And then you go back to democracy. What is democracy again? Which has principles on which judges must be committed to. The democracy is the rule of the people. They must be committed to what people think, my friend. It is not to be committed to a word. They must be committed to the people. If the people think A, the majority, most importantly, the majority must be adhered to. Then you still, when the majority goes, take what they want and they need or desire, then the majority must not forget there will be some minorities, and those minorities must be somehow be included and must be assisted or reintegrated into the majority, whatever the case may be, so that we don't have classes of people in our society. So things like this is a serious. So the judges are to play the necessary role in legal and political system. They must be committed. They must also adhere to the principles of democracy. These principles of democracy, the principles of that people rule, that the wishes of the people, the desires of the people, the identity of the people, the identity that the people want to give their country, the identity that the people want to give their society, must always be taken into consideration. Okay, the laws of a democracy may have many sources: written constitutions, statutes and regulations, religious and ethical teachings, cultural traditions and practices. Regardless of origin of the law, should enshrine certain provisions to protect the rights and freedoms of citizens. So, there is no specific source of law that the law comes only from philosophy, or the law comes only from the understanding of the West, especially the commotion between Western and Global South, the Western people, usually Western Europe and America. They have their own liberal democracy and forcing their ideas, especially on the developing nations and so on, without shame, to a certain extent, making some mistakes, but also making some good moves there. But most of the time, they are making mistakes. They don't study Africa. They don't know where Africans live. They will keep on talking about democracy, rule of law, what. But a person deep in the village of Namibia doesn't care about that. They are caring if rain is coming. They are caring if there will be enough grass for their cattle. These are the things sometimes we are concerned about, but the Western nations usually do not pay attention to. But then the point I'm trying to make here, not that one, was that sources of the law can be Constitution written is the source of law. As we say, in Namibia, the constitution is the supreme law. Statutes and regulations, some enacted documents, Nursing Act, Education Act, Medical Act, Agricultural and what Act, Water Act, what, all these enacted things, Marriage Act, all these things, they must be a source of law. The law says, because we have written them down, regulations, okay? Like now the treasury instructions for the government. When you receive government money, immediately you receive government money directly or subsidy, or read treasury instructions. How do you use state funds in terms of salaries, in terms of this, in terms of utilities, in terms of cars, transport, buildings? How do you use state money? For instance, just to give you an example, those are regulations. Those are policy guidelines. You may use some religious and ethical teachings as well, like now cultures, norms, history. When we say no, in our countries, this is how we looked at things, honoring elders, respecting elders, taking care of the elders, not provoking children, and all these things. We have been having this. Can we write them down? Can be the source of law? Yes, they can be. Cultural traditions, as I've mentioned, and practices. We cannot ignore our cultures. Just we want to appease somebody somewhere there. But regardless of the origin, we don't care where the law comes from, where what was the source. The law should enshrine, should protect, should seek to recognize and to protect the rights and freedoms of citizens. At the same time, the rights and freedoms of citizens must not be a stumbling block to the rights and the freedoms of others. You don't just want to, my freedom. Be considerate of the freedom of others. Others too have their freedom, and they may want something that's different from yours as well. So there must be a compromise somewhere. Under the requirement of equal protection of the law may not be uniquely applicable to any single individual or group. There must not just be a law that is aimed at for the certain tribe or for certain people. Yes, obviously, there may be a law that governs nurses, that governs teachers, that governs military, that governs the. In those areas, you could. But we must not seek to put up a law or a rule that seeks to bar certain people, like it happens in some of the traditional authorities I'm hearing. No, the traditional authorities have put up a law that says if you want to establish a church in their village, you must do this, you must do that, you must do that. They don't have that right. Traditional authorities have not that right. Traditional authorities are not to give permission to churches. Traditional authorities are there to give land to the church, not to give permission to the church. To give land to Namibians, for that matter. Is the person requiring the land a Namibian? Yes, and I'm obliged to give this person the land. No, we have already churches around. It's not your problem. It's not your question. Your question is to give the land, because the law empowers you to give nothing but the land to the people. If this church is in some ways violating the rights of the people around your village, again, the rule of law. You invoke which law was breached by these people. No, they are accusing people of witchcraft. That's defamation and character assassination. Then you must take them to court. And you must seek a court order that simply because these people are in my village or in my neighborhood or whatever, close them down. Then if the court gives you that order, then you are doing something legal. If you don't have it, Just like now all these self-made rules of who should be accepted, who should not be accepted, people can be taken to court. And if you are taken to court, the Constitution will rule supremely. That's why I'm saying the rule of law. Citizens must be secure from arbitrary arrest and unreasonable search for their homes or seizures of their personal property. Citizens charged with crime are entitled to a speedy and public trial, along with the opportunity to confront and question their accusers. If convicted, they must not be subjected to cruel or unusual punishment, and citizens cannot be forced to testify against themselves. This principle protects citizens from coercion or abuse or torture, and greatly reduces the temptation of the police to employ such measures. So, that being said, was now the rule of law. As a voter, you need to know these things. If you are voting blindly, choosing blindly, you may end up voting and choosing and installing people who will speak against you, who will do cruel things to you, because they don't understand, they don't commit themselves to the rule of law. That being said, we have a few minutes for the people to call in, the studio and air their views. Today we just spoke about the rule of law. So I hereby invite the callers or to invite the listeners to call in the program. I don't think I have the studio number with me today, but I hope you all know the studio for those of you who are regular callers. And please let me hear your views concerning the rule of law that today we were discussing about. Anybody can call in now, or otherwise I will continue to give an introduction in the next 5 minutes or so about what we shall be discussing next week. The program that, which I will do remotely from somewhere given the travel that I have to make. So, in the coming week. But in the meantime, I'm waiting for your calls. We have 5 minutes. Two callers or three callers can call in, and we give them the air. Otherwise, we spoke about citizens' responsibility. Now we talk about the concept of the rule of law. There must be a law somewhere. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Doctor, thank you very much for your explanation.
Yes.
In your point of the community, the traditional community, church, what you mentioned there.
Yes.
What law means that there is a traditional healer, whatever. To say that you can take them court, the court can take the tradition, the traditional court.
Yes, I'm not so sure if I get you.
No.
In that, I'm not sure about that.
O court, a traditional healer.
Ongerontu palundirontu onpita pangurwa morashu o apopiwa komlodi nenge koshiki otapangurwa shalundirontu kucho walundiranje shota siya ko hofalo kushingoro o defamation nengo character assassination morashu kwalundirontu
inarundi otakutiwa ongere kanji no ohea po eta heta ini madaiga njapo ulodi ni kwashiki.
irimaruro do tayilopo tatakuti omtunguno okwalundiranje chashongere kandisi ha hipopi omtungu ha popi msita hacho unsito hike tokusa kuchatate kuru ndepo openingilo shiposa oshoko walundiranje gere nongere kaisho hapatirwamo otohine kokot eta ningokot oda kucha ya kwete otune gongaro lilipo chirongo chetu de gongaro ndino otare toma vundakano na lipate ngowe lipate sokoto oda ouno veta e kugamena ngo wapata kungwe mwene otashivirika uke lipate ulilisho chengondo
na tumeshe ngene vundakano kondadaronde kuchu vundakaro li nitareto
ee watate
Yevundakara na chine kucha, gashi engere kacheche, gashi dindiza kucha, ye, otori wako kolele, otori wako mchinda kwa eno chenosha.
Ngutaru ndira mwole?
Engere ka taipo, zanu zaiko taiko, engere ka, taitish, amangino, ajari kupoto, otori wako mchinda choe.
Ndichichi, sisiru, numpono hapo pingano, inakutiliko engere ka. Ukiliko mno, toto msito hati. Msita, wama nandajwa mnunga, Uwishi mwana ngini. Aye, mwombe po shike shike. Ano toka lo, toka hoko lo lako vetami, hiyo vana. Yungere kaneshe omfita wayote takufiru ano veta pa law kucha for public decency, natango rule of law. For public decency, oto ganda. Ushurife pili maya changaka ngero watu kile utatu ya kupato shima shesho
ewa dashura kwa ya kwetu na emo
ewa tate yeah thank you
palomo no kwa pia gana
kwa pia gana kachona ewa tate yeah thank you very much. There was just a conversation to be clear in Oshwambo there one tate I think from the traditional authority point of view concerning the illustration I gave, the rule of law. We don't take law into our own hands. We must use the law to deal with whatever. Whether something was done legally, use the law to challenge it. You don't use your own, don't bring up your own things. I gave an example of this Pentecostal charismatic, neo-Pentecostal, neo-charismatic churches, because purely Pentecostal churches, we know them, we have them, we had them long time ago here, and they didn't give us troubles as we are experiencing now. Accusations of witchcraft and so forth and so on and so on. Then I'm saying, if somebody says to me, or to another person, no, there is a problem. Locus Catenda is bewitching A, B, and C. I will not come to close your church. I will not come to close your building if you like. I will not also tell you to stop praying or preaching, whatever the case. I will open the case against you, the case of defamation, the case of character assassination. You are accusing me of things I don't know of. Please prove them. If you prove them beyond reasonable doubt, and in law, you must only prove something that is legal. You don't tell me I was in air, I was in spirit, whatever. In court, we don't go in spirit. We read what's written in there, what's written in the law. You must now tell me what law have I broken for you to accuse me. What law have I broken? Which law have I broken in Namibia? And if you ask me what law you have broken, is the law of accusation, false accusation, allegations, to defy my name, to defame my name, to paint me a bad picture? There's a law that is against that. And I will try you on that basis. You see, now this whole concept of no, we must close them and so on. go to court and tell the court, this whole situation in my village, Thank you. It is now time to call it a day, and I will see you next week. My role as a voter was brought to you by Konrad Adenauer Foundation, presented by Lucas Gatenda on Eagle FM. It is a goodbye until next time.